Our next speaker is Sermet El-Koufaishi, and the title of his talk is A Volumetric Surface Area and Clay Saturation Indexes for the Prediction of Soil Hydraulic Properties.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sermet El-Koufaishi. I'm from Aalborg, PhD student at Aalborg University, located at Aalborg, north part of Denmark. And my talk is Volumetric Surface Area and Clay Saturation Indexes for the prediction of soil hydraulic properties. The six volumetric indexes that we use is, two of them is water-based indices, which is the water absorbed for soil at equilibrium with 20% relative humidity, referred to as theta 20% relative humidity. The other one is the water retained at 93 relative humidity, referred to as theta 93 relative humidity. The soil surface area measured by the EGME method, referred to surface area volumetric by EGME. And the other one is by the N2BET, gas-sorbed surface area measurement. The fourth one is we use the fine content, which is the sum of the clay and organic matter of the soil as a volumetric unit. The cation exchange capacity was the sixth one and referred to CEC volumetric. And all of them are volumetric. That means they are somehow multiplied by the soil bulk density. So the objective of our research is to identify the index that can be easily measured first, and second could be related to volumetric soil water content at a specific metric potentials, and to link that or to find if there is a possible link to other hydraulic parameters. For this study, we use the Soil Danish Library, which is a collection of soils from different areas in Denmark. The cycles that you can see, is a profile sample. So at each profile, there is two or three sampling depths where you can see the triangle. This is a transect, which is a clay gradient transect. The soil, it's six sampling points ranging from 11 to 45%. But those are not going to be part of the study, but they're just going to be plotted on the plots. We used another index, which is the clay saturation index introduced by Dexter et al. 2008, which is saying that one mass portion of clay of organic carbon gets saturated with 10% with 10 volumes with 10 mass portions of clay. So we plot this line, and that would separate our soil samples into what's called empty circles and dark circles, and this same classification will go on all the plots. What we did here is that we converted this mass-based index into volumetric index by changing the clay to volumetric unit and the organic matter also to the volumetric unit. And we found that the slopes here changed to 2.2. Those are the soils from Libya, or the clay transects, which they're going to be triangles in all the plots. The intercorrelation between the volumetric indices shows a difference between the high organic matter soils and low organic matter soils when we use the N2BET measurement and the EGME measurement. It's a little bit or no significant difference when we use the water-based indices, as well as the fines index and the CEC index. We converted the water absorbed at 20% relative humidity into surface area index, assuming that the water soil water content at 20% relative humidity is covering the soil in mono layers of water. So we use this formula to convert it to surface area, and we found a big difference actually when we compare this measurement of surface area to the EGME as a surface area index. Also, like a difference between low organic matter, high organic matter, and difference between the two methods. Here we plot the correlation coefficient between the different indices that we used, and just interest. And it's clear that it shows different correlations degree. That's what we have seen on the graphs, on the plots. Right? But it's also interesting to see that it's always in the double stars, which is the low organic matter soil. It's higher than the single star, which is the high organic matter soils. We plotted each of the indices with the matrix potentials at the PF values with the different matrix potentials, and we can see that the correlation kind of getting better for the low organic matter soils and mostly in the dry area. And kind of in this plot, it's clear that there is no correlation in the wet part, you can say, of the retention curve. In the middle part, start to getting some relation, but very much in the dry part, you start seeing a very good correlation with the water content at those dry matrix potentials. So later on, we reject those two indices since they are very much far away, and we keep running only with three of them. Here we are presenting we try to model this relation, so to present a model for the dry, to predict the water content of the dry area of the retention curve. And you can see that the volumetric water content for the fines, for the cation exchange capacity volumetric represent different slopes for different matrix potentials. And we refer to those slopes as H. We took those edges and we plot them as a function of the PFs, and we got those kind of simple direct equations. So for example, this equation is saying that in order to find the volumetric soil water content, we need to quantify, we have the value of the cation exchange capacity volumetrically, and we plot the PF that we want, then we get the theta. Or we can of course rearrange this one to in order to get the PF. And PF is the log of the matrix potential measured in centimeter of water. We try to relate it to hydraulic properties, to the water retention curve at the wet area of the retention curve. And here we use a Campbell model, and we find a good correlation between two of the volumetric indices, which is the fine and the water absorbed at 20% relative humidity, and the Campbell B. So here is the, with fine especially, is very good correlation to solve this equation. Further on, relating it to hydraulic conductivity, we unfortunately didn't find any good relation between any of our volumetric indices and the saturated hydraulic conductivity, compared, for example, with just using the macro porosity as an index for the saturated hydraulic conductivity. So obviously they don't work in that area. Probably an interesting finding is that all the hydrophobic soils that we used, they were below the Dijkstra saturation index. That means they have high organic matter. And we didn't find any hydrophobic soil in this area of the plot. In conclusion and perspectives as well, that we have, you know, for pedo transfer function or for developing pedo transfer functions, that we usually use like a simple, relatively simple measurement in order to predict more complicated and hydraulic properties. So from the soil bulk density and organic matter, we can get the total porosity. From total porosity and theta at our macro porosity, we can get the saturated hydraulic conductivity, or can say a good estimate for the saturated hydraulic conductivity. By our indices, by the indices that we use in this study, we can find the H, which is the give us a very good relation to the highly absorbed water from PF 4.4 to 6.9, and with the Campbell B, which is giving us a good estimate for the water content between 1.2 and 3.8 matrix potentials. In combination, this one with the macro porosity, we cover a very good area of the retention curves. Organic matter content and clay using the Dijkstra saturation index give us a good indication for the water repellent soils, or the potential water repellent soils, which, as we saw also in the previous presentation, it has its impact on the retention curve or unsaturated rock conductivity. What should I say more here? Yeah, well, for the non-saturated hydraulic conductivity, it is the, of course, the relation between saturated hydraulic conductivity and total porosity, and any of those with the Campbell model, you can predict the non-saturated hydraulic conductivity with another Campbell model. So that's our perspective for the research, and thank you very much for your attention.
Any questions? I have a question, and that is, how long, if you're saturating the soil to try to get to the 20% relative humidity, are you starting off with an oven dry soil and then putting it in the presence of, you're somehow measuring, you know, the humidity is increasing in the presence of the soil, and how long does that take for that to happen?
Yes. Well, in this work, we always try to, you know, avoid like any kind of hysteresis impact. So all our soil kind of started from being wet and drained to lower water content. And anyway, for equilibrium with 20% relative humidity, we just wet them higher than this value. So it's watered more than 20%. Then we keep them in exscator, which is equilibrated with a certain salt concentration. The time we use is 25 days. Based on other studies or references that they use soil which it has shown that it's equilibrating after 10 days or 12 mm-hmm. days. So we say, okay, then 25 days. Acknowledging, of course, that there is a difference between, you know, clay, high clay, and right. sandy soils. But right. we chop at the 25 day to and start our measurement.
So do you think it would work if you were to start off with oven dry soil and then let it resaturate, just essentially re-wetting through vapor?
I would expect that there will be a different value because we did the same test for other soils. But that's based on if it has hysteresis or not. We didn't try it for this kind of soils. Those all measured by being wet and dried. So it's that type of retention curve, nice. Not the opposite one.
Okay. Any more questions? Great. Thank you.
Thank you.